Welcome to today's worship stream. I am Gabriel, lead pastor of Grace Communion Richardson. And here at Grace Communion Richardson, we seek to know Jesus and to make him known through worship, through family fellowship, and neighborhood engagement. And we do so out of the compelling love of God abundantly displayed in Jesus Christ. You're welcome, and we would love to see your comments. So please feel free to share your comments. And we also would love to know where you are watching the stream from and who you are watching with. So please, we would love it if you would share that with us as well. And if you have any prayer requests, do not hesitate in sharing your prayer request with us. I know there's a lot going on in our nation and around the world, and in neighborhoods and in communities that we are part of. So please send any prayer requests that you may have to the prayer request email address at the bottom right corner of your screen, and we will follow up and pray with and for you. Now, I know that a number of us are missing being back to in-person worship, and with the reopening that is going on here in Texas and many other states, we're looking forward to going back to in-person worship. We are in the middle of planning and making sure that we can do so in a safe and as comfortable a manner as possible, and we will let you know as soon as we've made a decision which Sunday, what date that we are going to go back to in-person worship. However, rest assured that even when we do go back to in-person worship, we intend to remain. Our presence will continue to be online so that we'll be able to serve both those who are able to join us in person as well as serve those who remain online. So stay tuned, and we will let you know as soon as possible when we are ready. And in the meantime, please join us in prayer as we prepare to do so. At this stage, I would like to invite you to join some members of our praise team as they share with us a praise song. And then we'll have prayer by Ronnie and Emily. And after that, I will share my thanks with those of you who are supporting us as a church and ministry, and then we will get back into the worship message for today. Please stay.
Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us for worship today, to worship our Lord together. As David said in Psalm 34:3, glorify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Amen.
Time to worship. Come. Now is blessed time to give Him your heart. Come, just as you are, to worship. Oh, come, just as you are before your
One day,
every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. But still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. One day every tongue will confess you are God. And one day every knee will bow.
Heavenly Father, we are grateful for the opportunity today to come into your presence. We thank you, Lord, for this fellowship that have gathered together in your name to lift you up. We come together today to worship you.
Yes, Lord.
Now, Lord, we just ask that you would break up the fallow ground of our hearts, that the word of God, that good seed would be sown in our hearts and bring forth good fruit. And Father, Lord, have mercy. We thank you for this opportunity to learn of you, to come to know you better. We ask today that you would change our hearts so that we can better be ambassadors for you in this time of crisis and misunderstanding. Allow us to share your love with others as we leave this fellowship. Change us, heal us, fix us, deliver us. Lord, we just want to bring you glory. So whatever you need to change in us, we ask that you would do it through your word today. And Father, we thank you in advance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you to our praise team for the worship song, and also to Emily and Ronnie for the prayer. At this stage, I want to say thank you specifically to our members of Grace Communion Richardson, and supporters, and many of you who share our values and are supportive of us financially through your donations, as well as in your prayers. Thank you for helping us be engaged in the mission of Jesus in sharing his beautiful and inclusive gospel with others, and in helping those who may be in need around our neighborhood. So thank you for your generous support, and there are ways that you can continue to give on your screen right now. And thank you. Thank you. Well, welcome to the message portion of this worship stream. When was the last time you caught yourself laughing? at an even inappropriate time, maybe, when the situation did not call for laughter and it ended awkward? Or when did you last have a belly laugh with someone else? When was the last time you laughed with joy and did so with others? Things have been really tough and difficult lately, leaving no reason for laughter in most people's minds, like God did with Sarah. God promises us a reason to laugh together. And we want to look at that today. And some of you may be wondering, why would you want to talk about laughter in the first place, when we have so many things that are aggravating, so many things that are frustrating, so many things that are painful, so many things that are upsetting going on around us? Why would I want to even think about laughing? Well, first of all, speaking as a black person, one of the things about black people that is common with black people almost anywhere, whether here in America or in Latin America or in Africa, parts of Asia, in the Caribbean, one of the common traits that we share is our ability to laugh, even in the midst of pain, in the midst of trauma, in the midst of suffering. We are a people capable of laughter. Laughing at ourselves as well as laughing with each other. And it stems from a deep soul of wellspring of hope that things will not remain negatively the same, that things can change and will change. That is that wellspring of hope that is embedded in our souls. Another reason why I think it is important for us to look at this subject, even in the midst of the conditions around us, is that we want to look forward to being able to laugh together. And to be able to laugh together means that we are willing to do the things that are necessary to make that happen. We are willing to engage each other in a way that enables our ability to laugh with each other. Because you see, friends, laughter is a lubricant in relationships. The ability to laugh with someone enables that relationship to be as authentic as possible, to be as vulnerable as possible, to be able to get even deeper in engagement. And so laughter is very important. It's a gift that God has given us to use, not only when things are rosy and peachy, but also when things are difficult. It can be something that we look forward to and as a result work towards. And it can be something that we use as a lubricant to enable the process of unity, of reconciliation. When we are able to not take ourselves too seriously, when we are able to be self-deprecating, and then we are able to share because we feel safe enough and we feel secure enough to do so, that is very helpful in helping us engage one another at the level of sincerity, at the level of authenticity, at a level where we can feel free. Because when you are laughing, you are feeling free. You know, people who are scared and afraid do not usually laugh. But once you begin to be able to laugh, then you can begin to be able to even share. And I'm not talking about mocking, which unfortunately seems to be part of our national discourse these days. Mocking is not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the kinds of laughter or comedy that is demeaning or that is oppressive, That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a laughter that recognizes our shared humanity. A laughter that is an expression of the inward joy that we have and can have as people created in the image of God with his stupendous destiny. So that's really what this is about. So if you've been wondering why there are so many comedians among black people, that's one of the reasons. We just have a funny bone and we like to laugh. Yes, there are times when laughter is at the wrong time and with the wrong motive or the wrong attitude. And I have mentioned that. Mocking, laughter that is mocking, it's not a laughter that is of the right attitude or motive. And then there are times that we hold on to the promises of God so that we are able to laugh even in the midst of our pain, in the midst of our troubles. And even more so when we see the victory that God has won for us, even in the midst of the challenges as we go through them. So we still see the funny in life, hence again the many comedians, many black comedians around us. But let's get back and consider the story of Sarah and Abraham. Specifically Sarah, because Sarah is the one who laughed. And that laughter of Sarah at that time was an awkward one. But it was an occasion that God used to confirm and affirm who he is as a faithful God, as someone who acts and performs what he promises. So, we are going to have Genesis chapter 18 and verses 1 to 15 to be read for us by Ronnie and Emily. And after they've done reading that scripture, I will come back and we will look at what is going on in that passage.
Genesis 18, 1 through 15. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great tree of the Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed and then go on your way. Now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered. "Do as you say." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. "Quick," he said, "get three sears of the finest flour and knead it and bake some bread." Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice, tender calf, and gave it to his servant, who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set these before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. "Where is your wife, Sarah?" they asked him. "There in the tent," he said. Then one of them said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son."
Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I am worn out, and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord?
I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, I did not laugh. But he said, yes, you did laugh.
Thank you to Ronnie and Emily for that scripture reading. So we see here Genesis 18 verses 1 through 15. Abraham, like a lot of his contemporaries in that part of the world, practiced hospitality. Now, that is basically saying that he was willing to welcome strangers and to make them comfortable as they journeyed through where he lived. Now, in those days, they did not have, you know, hotels and motels and restaurants and the various things that we take for granted now. So a lot of times when people are journeying from one point to another, from point A to B, they rely on the hospitality of the inhabitants wherever they are passing through. And maybe some, you know, sometimes there are some shrines and temples and whatnot, pagan shrines and temples around that you can go to for refreshment. But Abraham practiced hospitality. So he welcomed these strangers and went ahead to ensure that they were made comfortable, and he even fed them, right? So Abraham had a kind heart for people, even strangers. And he was willing to trust God in that. He was willing to be open, to be vulnerable in helping and caring and sharing with strangers. Now, of course, especially in this day and age, you have to use wisdom when you do stuff like that. But still, be willing to trust God in helping and caring and sharing for people that you do not know. So Abraham, unlike most, was well-to-do. He had quite a bit of means, and yet he was personal in his attention to these strangers. He didn't just delegate it to his servants, to people who worked for him to do so. You can see in the scripture, he actually even went to his wife to ask him to get some flour and get some food prepared, and he went and told another servant, you know, get one of the sheep or the calf or whatever, you know, an animal ready to be prepared for these strangers. So he was hands-on, personal in showing hospitality to these strangers. And Abraham also recognized that he was in the presence of greatness. Whatever it was about these people that were in front of him, Abraham recognized that they were no ordinary people, that they were special. So no wonder Abraham is referred to as the father of the faithful, the father of the people who are willing to trust God, who are willing to engage in who God is in their own lifestyles. So Abraham is an example in that for all of us. Now, Sarah, we heard in the scripture reading, laughed when one of these men promised that she and her husband Abraham were going to have a child. That Sarah was going to get pregnant and they were going to have a child. And Sarah laughed. Sarah laughed out of what? Her bitterness. She has been looking for a child for years and years without any success. And now she's old, and Abraham's even older. And so far as Sarah knew, she had passed the childbearing age, you know? The clock had ticked well over for Sarah. And so she laughed out of bitterness about having a child with Abraham at her age. And it was an awkward laugh because her laughter was heard by the strangers who were promising that she was going to have a child. And they said, "What? You know, this, why is Sarah laughing at what we are saying?" And Sarah was caught and was in an awkward position, and she lied. "No, I didn't laugh." And the man said, "Yes, you did laugh. But what we have said is going to come to pass." God did not hold Sarah's awkward, bitter laughter against her. He didn't even hold the fact that she lied when she was caught against her. God understood. God understood that Sarah was going through a very difficult time in her life. God understood that Sarah was wrestling with disappointments. God understood that Sarah felt betrayed by her own body and didn't know what to do. God did not hold Sarah's laughter, Sarah's attitude against her, but rather promised that her bitter laughter was going to turn into a joyous laughter in due course. So let's read about the fulfillment of that promise. And we read that in Genesis 21 and verses 1 through 7. And again, Emily and Ronnie will be reading that particular passage, Genesis chapter 21 and verses 1 through 7. And after they've done reading, I will come back and we'll talk some more.
Genesis 21, 1 through 7, the birth of Isaac. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him.
And Sarah said, "God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me." And she added, "Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age."
Again, thanks to Emily and Ronnie for that scripture reading, Genesis 21, verses 1 to 7. And here we see the narration of the fulfillment of the promise that these strangers gave to Abraham and Sarah. It has come to pass. And Sarah, her bitter laughter is now turned to joy. Now, one of the first things that we need to recognize from this story is the truism that God is a promise keeper. God keeps his promises. God is faithful. And so his promise to Abraham and Isaac has now come to pass. It's been fulfilled. Now, it may interest you to know that Isaac was named Laughter. That's what Isaac means. Laughter, one who laughs. Because it recalled what had happened when the promise of a child was received by Sarah with a bitter laughter. Now, Sarah is inviting others to share in her joyous laughter, in her laughter and in her joy. And that's what God wants for all of us. God wants us to see, first of all, that he is faithful. His promises to us are sure. They will come to pass. And then also, God wants us to share our joy, share our laughter with each other. Because when laughter and joy is contagious, It lightens the heart. It helps us able to face life again. It helps us able to take the next step again. It helps us able to recommit to being human with each other. Now, I don't know whether there are any other life forms that laugh. You know, we hear of the laughing jackals and whatnot. I don't really know whether the jackals laugh as we do as human beings. But laughter is a gift that God has given us that is an expression of an inward joy that we can have. And if you watch children, that's one of the amazing things about children, their ability to laugh. And laugh with a pure peal, as I say when I see it. That's a pure peal of laughter that they have. It is a laughter that is unencumbered with the challenges of life, with the troubles of life. They just laugh straight from their belly and from their heart. And they can laugh and laugh and laugh. And that's a gift that God has given to us. And we don't want to lose that. We want to use that as a motive, a motivation towards working together and laughing together, being able to express joy together. And this is what Psalm 126 promises that God is intending for all of us. In Psalm 126, verses 1 to 6, and we're going to have Ronnie and Emily read that again for us, and then I'll come back and talk a little bit about it. So, Psalm 126 on verses 1 to 6.
Psalms 126, 1 through 6, a song of ascents. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed.
Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them.
The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy.
Restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the Negev.
Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them.
Well, thank you to Emily and Ronnie again for the beautiful rendering in reading the Psalm 126, verses 1 to 6. So in this psalm, and I want us to, you know, I want to look at it with you again. Just accept a few verses from this psalm with you. So in Psalm 126, of course, the psalms were written by a number of people, mostly by David, but others contributed to other parts of the Psalms. And in this particular Psalm 126, we read in verse 1 that the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion. The Lord restored the fortunes of Zion. Right now, we don't see as if our fortunes are restored. We are going through a pandemic. There are a lot of people who have died. A lot of people who are still in hospital. A lot of people who have lost their jobs. A lot of people who have reduced income, if not lost their jobs outright. The economic impact is horrendous. The social impact is horrendous. The health impact is horrendous. So, we are going through diminished fortunes as a nation and as a world right now. And here in Psalm 126, it says that the Lord restores the fortunes of Zion. And we look forward to a restoration as a nation and as a world, that we will come through this restored, that we will come through this stronger, that we will come through this more humane with each other. And it's not just the pandemic, we're also going through a reevaluation of how we treat one another, no matter what ethnic background we come from, that we share a common humanity and a common destiny. And I'm hoping that that understanding leading to substantive conversations and substantive changes in our attitude and practices will lead to a restoration of harmony, a restoration of the unity of shared humanity and shared destiny that we have as people made in the image of God. And so it says here that the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion. We were like those who dreamed, right? And it's important for us to dream. It's important for us to recognize that this too shall pass, and we can look forward with vision to a better future. A better future not based on any human ideology. A better future not based on any human concepts that fail and fail again, but a future that is based on the love of God and the will of God and the purpose of God that brings through the power of His Spirit a transformation of the heart and a transformation of our lifestyles that will bring about that unity and that will bring about that harmony and that progress that we are dreaming about. Our mouths, verse 2, were filled with laughter, says, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. You see how the psalmist is saying this? The Lord has done great things for them and for us, for all of us. In other words, the Lord is capable and able of doing great things for the other, just as He is capable and able of doing great things for us. Our God is a non-discriminatory Father of all, and He does great things for all of us. And we are filled with joy. And then verse 4 is more or less a prayer, asking God to indeed do what He has promised. Restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. Sheaves of harvest, of wheat. So that's God's promise. And that's why we can laugh. And I invite you to find a reason to laugh and laugh with the other person next to you. Laugh with the other person. Get to know them so you can laugh with them. That's the point. So like Sarah, God will see us through our troubles, as the psalmist promises here in Psalm 126. Our barriers and failures will give way to the gift of laughter and joy. God does not hold our discouragement against us. All His promises are yes in Jesus. Let me read that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20, Paul was inspired to write this very powerful and beautiful statement. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and in verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and in verse 20. This is one of the favorite scriptures of mine because it's encouraging, it's comforting, it's affirming, it's validating. It says in 2 Corinthians, the first chapter in verse 20, it says, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through Him, the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. No matter how many promises God has said. In other words, the writer here, Paul, is saying God's promises will come to pass in Christ Jesus. They are yes in Christ, not no. God is faithful, and in Christ, they are going to be fulfilled. What an amazing promise What an amazing affirmation that God gives to us. And so our sorrow will turn to joy and we can laugh. And part of the reason that that happens is that we are willing to trust God enough to get to know Him enough to allow who He is to permeate our hearts through His Spirit so that we can begin to live out who He is, His principles, His nature, become our DNA, our nature. And the way that He looks at people will be the way that we look at each other. And the meaning of love your neighbor as yourself, and as you would want others to do to you, so do to them, become even more important and even more satisfying as we live that out. So, would you believe in God's promises to you? Are you willing to trust the Lord like Abraham and Sarah did and engage others the way God says to do, to engage others in love, to engage others with dignity, to engage others with respect, to be welcoming and hospitable to others like Abraham and Sarah were? I pray that we all are willing to participate with Jesus in that lifestyle. Lord, help us to trust you, to treat each other with the love, respect, dignity, and hospitality you say we should as a people of shared humanity and shared destiny. That we may laugh together in joy to your honor and to your glory. Amen. But let's conclude with a praise song, as usual, from some members of our praise team. And I hope to see you next Sunday as we continue on this journey of seeking to know Jesus and to make Him known. God bless you, and we'll see you next Sunday.
We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship you now. How great!